Mark Cassie's in the Hall of Fame, and he's with me now here on HRRN. Mark, good morning and congratulations, Hall of Famer.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thank you. Sounds good. I like that.
Yeah, you're one of just a few people who can, I can actually say congratulations, dual Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I got a, it's funny. I got a thing from Jay Priebman the other day. He said, now if you could just do Mexico, you'd have all of North America covered, and they have good guacamole.
Are we going to see a string down in what's the racetrack in Mexico, in Mexico City? Will we see a Mark Cassie string down there?
Let me think about it. No. That's what I tell my son all the time. He asks me a question. I'll say, let me think about it. No.
Let's be honest here. People view Mark Cassie as being a Canadian. You are not a Canadian. You grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. You started running horses at the Great Barrington Fair in Massachusetts when you were 17 years old. Did you ever imagine, Mark, that this career would end up where it has?
Well, I mean, you know. As I, you know, I told my dad when I was like 12 or so, I said, I'm going to end up in here one day. Stop. Don't let him get up. But I told him that. And I mean, I really only started thinking about it, Mike, thinking that it was possible maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So then I thought, well, it was, you know, maybe possible. It was definitely number one on my things to do list. So, it's just such an honor.
Tell me about getting the news that you were going to be inducted this year.
I was out on the track as I am now. You're probably hearing horses go by. So we're still in the middle of training, but, you know, it gave me chills, a lot of emotions. And in the last few days have been a lot of reflection. You know, it was asking me, I've done a lot of interviews and stuff, and, you know, it was asking me, you know, do you think about the great horses that got you in there? And they were a big part of it, but it was more about great people that got me in there, you know, people that made sacrifices on my behalf, you know, my mom being one, my dad, you know.
How about some of the owners that have supported you over the years and the relationship you've developed with them?
Well, I mean, you know, it goes way back. But I mean, like I said, if there was a timeline, you think I had a guy named Robert Wilson who passed away some time ago. He was, you know, he gave me my first horses along with my dad. And then, of course, I think the first person that really saw so much in me was maybe Harry Mangurian. You know, he let me, and it wasn't so much on a racing. It was more on just overall general manager and breeding, and we did have some training. A lot of people don't realize, but for about, I want to say 8 or 10 years, I didn't train very many horses. I was more involved in large breeding operation. I was the general manager of Mockingbird Farm. But of recent years, you know, I would say there's 5 or 6, 7 people that, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here. And one would be Bill Farish. A lot of people don't know, but at one point in time, I was thinking about hanging it up. I was training in Toronto, and I felt like I was getting everybody's third and fourth strings. And I was like, you know, what am I going to achieve doing this? And I told him, and he went and formed a partnership called Woodford Racing, and he got me kind of going. And then through that, I met Mr. Oxley, and then, of course, Gary Barber came along, and I mean, Gary Barber has been, both Oxley and Barber have been so instrumental. And then, of course, Mrs. Weber. I have a longtime client, Gabe Grossberg, and trained some for Melnick. So, you know, those people, you know, any, I think without any of those people, what about Mr. Matheson, you know, with Tepin? So there's lots of great people that have helped me get here. My mom made a decision when I was 13, her and my father got a divorce, and she had a good chance to make me, you know, have me go with her, which would have taken me away from racing. And I told her at that point in time, I said, Mom, if you truly love me, you'll let me stay with Dad and the horses. And she did that, you know, that's how much she loved me. And, you know, I'll never forget that. And she still, you know, she gets excited every time. She called me the other day. She said, she lives in northern Indiana. She goes, I just read a quote in the sports page, and it was your quote. She was so excited about that, you know. And then, of course, she called me after finding out that I had been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, you know, my father passed away 2 years back, but I'm sure he's up there looking down.
You mentioned, Mark, that you've spent time doing quite a bit of reflection as you were preparing for some of these interviews and talking about your career. Outside of the people that you just mentioned, what other moments maybe came to mind, and even moments that might have surprised you as you were doing reflection and thinking about your career that maybe had kind of slipped to the back of your mind and then came to the forefront as you were thinking about this dual Hall of Fame career of yours? What are some of those moments?
Well, obviously, you know, Norman was a big part of it too. Not only was he such an instrumental part of the training part, but he was also very instrumental in getting me to open back up and come to North America, back into the U.S. Had that not happened, you know, you wouldn't be talking to me today as a Hall of Famer. There's just so many. Oh, I don't even know. A big part of where I am today is making the decision to go to Woodbine 25 years ago, because it allowed me, you know, to show what, I actually, a lot of people don't know, but I was leading trainer in Kentucky in the mid-80s. Just kind of got tired of all the moving and everything. That's why I went to Canada. And that was a huge move for me. I mean, there's so many spots, Mike, that had I went left instead of right or right, you know, if I hadn't went the path, would I be here today? Probably not. My wife, Tina, has been so instrumental too over the last 20 years of not only, you know, she's my biggest fan, but more than that, she runs, you know, we have a huge business, not only in the U.S. and Canada, and she oversees all that, which allows me to train horses and, you know, to pay attention to horses. I don't really have to worry about a lot of that. She may ask me a question here or there, but I don't have to do that. So meeting her was definitely a big deal 20 years ago.
Talking with dual Hall of Famer Mark Cassie here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you can hear the wind blowing through his cell phone, he's standing there watching his horses train. The work never ends, even when you're in two Hall of Fames. Mark, I can remember a few years back, I had a chance to visit with Richard Mandela on our Trainer Talk program, which you've appeared on many times with me. And I asked Richard about some of his other hobbies and interests that he had, and he paused for a second, and he said, I really don't. I don't have anything outside of horse racing that really that I'm latched on to. You, on the other hand, you've been able to do this and reach this level. You have your son's baseball games that you attend. You have other interests outside of racing, but I know racing is your life. You've taken a little different approach to this. Talk a little bit about how you've been able to reach this level and still balance everything else.
Well, you know what? As you get older, you realize that some things are more important. Unfortunately, with Norman and my older children, I wasn't able to spend as much time with them as I am now with my son, Colby. And, I just I feel bad about that. But when you're in the, you know, when you're in the startup of your career, it's much more difficult. Horse racing consumes me. I do it every day, pretty well all day. So I like to fish. So I decided the best way to do that was we built two ponds in our front yard. So when I get frustrated or want a little break, I walk out and I fish for 10 minutes. You'll see, if you see the front of my house, there'll be about four or five fishing poles there. And I walk out. I've already caught a bass early this morning for light. I walk out and do that.
Are they fully stocked ponds? Are they completely fully stocked with all the fish?
We raised them from when they were little minnows. I mean, I caught a 7-pounder the other day. Colby caught 11-pounder, and they're all homegrown. They started from being little. You know, I think we bought 100 bass that were maybe 3 or 4 inches long, put them in there, and yeah, so we've grown them. So I do that. Through the coronavirus, I was getting kind of bored. You know, I'm at home, so we built a baseball field. also working on that. And then a lot of people don't know. I like playing. I play chess. I play it online. I play about 20, 30 games at a time. You have to make one move every 5 days. That's the minimum. Sometimes I make 2 or 3 moves in a day, and sometimes I may get to where I'll get a warning that I haven't played in 5 days. But it's something I do early in the morning and late at night when I'm not getting a bunch of phone calls and whatever. And I think it keeps my mind, you know, thinking, and I'm a strategizer. I love strategies, and I do it with my horses as well. And so, yeah. And then I'm lucky. I'm married to my best friend. And so we enjoy doing nothing, sitting around. She'll sit at her desk behind her computer, and I'll sit at my desk behind, and we sit next to each other. So, you know, it's I'm a very, very fortunate man.
I know you have to go train these horses, Mark. I know you're busy this morning, but you have to tell me just a little bit more about this baseball field. As you were saying that, I'm picturing Field of Dreams with a cornfield out in the outfield and the lights, and build it and they will come. Tell me about this baseball field.
Well, our outfield, center field is our pond, where our bass are. So if you really get a hold of one, you're going to put it into the pond. But one side of our house has a big window, which is our bathroom. And I got our maintenance crew to put plexiglass up in front of that in case somebody fouls one off. But now it's a full infield, and it's nice. And now that the boys are now allowed to travel a little bit more, they come over. We practiced last night. So actually my wife's a pretty good hitter as well. She'll get out and she hits ground balls to Colby and I, and then we have his friends over, and we're getting plenty of exercise, and it's been. I think the key in so many ways is, this is my philosophy in life, you got to make good things happen out of bad situations. Something I've said a long time ago, and I don't play golf anymore. I used to play before Colby was born, is when you hit a ball into the woods, you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, hell, I hit the ball into the woods. Or you can say, now what kind of great shot can I hit to get out of the woods? And so that's kind of the way I live each and every day. And, we're just lucky. We're so lucky through all this that we've been able to continue to train. I know there's a lot of people out there that are not as fortunate, and I feel for them and I pray for them. But we're lucky. And, you know what? It's just allowed us to have a little more family time too. So Colby, you won't be long. Colby, you'll be, you know, going to college, and we're not going to have that time. So we've enjoyed that, my wife and I.
Yeah, I'll come hang out on the baseball field with you and do a little bass fishing for sure. I don't know if it, played baseball
anytime.
All the way through college, anytime. So you're talking my language here. Let's get together and do that. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure. Anytime.
Mark Cassie here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I just invited myself to his baseball field and his bass pond. So one of the true good guys in the sport, all class, as I like to say. And, Mark, you've always been like that, and I can't thank you enough for your time and well-deserved honor. Congratulations on getting into that Horse Racing Hall of Fame.
Okay, just one second, Mike. She just galloped. She doesn't go to the gate. Just galloped.
Thank you, Mark.
Sorry about that, but we're still... I'm standing over by the starting gate, and I just had to give some instructions to a rider. But
I was just wrapping it up, letting you go.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. You have a great day.
Thanks, bud. Congratulations.